Whenever doubts plague you to a dangerous point, do something pragmatic about it. Turn off the light. Pierce the darkness. Find out what you can see. You saw the fleeting shadows against the trees. That's pretty good. I'd like you to see them inside this room. You're not seeing anything. You're just merely catching fleeting images. You have enough energy for that. The sorcerers of ancient Mexico saw the predator. They called it the flyer because it leaps through the air. It is not a pretty sight. It is a big shadow, impenetrably dark, a dark shadow that jumps through the air. Then it lands flat on the ground. The sorcerers of ancient Mexico were quite ill at ease with the idea of when it made its appearance on Earth. They reasoned that man must have been a complete being at one point, with stupendous insights, feats of awareness that are mythological legends nowadays. And then everything seems to disappear, and we have now a sedated man. What I'm saying is that what we have against us is not a simple predator. It is very smart and organized. It follows a methodical system to render us useless. Man, the magical being that he is destined to be, is no longer magical. He's an average piece of meat. There are no more dreams for man, but the dreams of an animal who is being raised to become a piece of meat. Trite, conventional, imbecilic. This predator, which of course is an inorganic being, is not altogether invisible to us, as other inorganic beings are. I think as children we do see it and decide it's so horrific that we don't want to think about it. Children, of course, could insist on focusing on the sight, but everybody else around them dissuades them from doing so. The only alternative left for mankind is discipline. Discipline is the only deterrent. But by discipline, I don't mean harsh routines. I don't mean waking up every morning at 5:30 and throwing cold water on yourself till you're blue. Sorcerers understand discipline as the capacity to face with serenity odds that are not included in our expectations. For them, discipline is an art. The art of facing infinity without flinching. Not because they are strong and tough, but because they are filled with awe. Sorcerers say that discipline makes the glowing coat of awareness unpalatable to the flyer. The result is that the predators become bewildered. An inedible glowing coat of awareness is not part of their cognition, I suppose. After being bewildered, they don't have any recourse other than refraining from continuing their nefarious task. If the predators don't eat our glowing coat of awareness for a while, it'll keep on glowing. Simplifying this matter to the extreme, I can say that sorcerers, by means of their discipline, push the predators away long enough to allow their glowing coat of awareness to grow beyond the level of the toes. Once it goes beyond the level of the toes, it grows back to its normal size. The sorcerers of ancient Mexico used to say that the glowing coat of awareness is like a tree. If it is not pruned, it grows to its natural size and volume. As awareness reaches levels higher than the toes, tremendous maneuvers of perception become a matter of course. The grand trick of those sorcerers of ancient times was to burden the flyer's mind with discipline. They found out that if they taxed the flyer's mind with inner silence, the foreign installation would flee. Giving to any one of the practitioners involved in this maneuver the total certainty of the mind's foreign origin. The foreign installation comes back, I assure you, but not as strong, and a process begins in which the fleeing of the flyer's mind becomes routine until one day it flees permanently. A sad day indeed. That's the day when you have to rely on your own devices, which are nearly zero. There's no one to tell you what to do. There's no mind of foreign origin to dictate the imbecilities you're accustomed to. My teacher, the Nahual Julian, used to warn all his disciples that this was the toughest day in a sorcerer's life, for the real mind that belongs to us, the sum total of our experience, after a lifetime of domination, has been rendered shy, insecure, and shifty. Personally, I would say that the real battle of sorcerers begins at that moment. The rest is merely preparation. Discipline taxes the foreign mind no end. So, through their discipline, sorcerers vanquish the foreign installation. I'm going to give the flyer's mind, which you carry inside you, one more jolt. I'm going to reveal to you one of the most extraordinary secrets of sorcery. I'm going to describe to you a finding that took sorcerers thousands of years to verify and consolidate. The flyer's mind flees forever when a sorcerer succeeds in grabbing on to the vibrating force that holds us together as a conglomerate of energy fields. If a sorcerer maintains that pressure long enough, the flyer's mind flees in defeat. And that's exactly what you're going to do. Hold on to the energy that binds you together. You are fearing the wrath of God, aren't you? Rest assured, that's not your fear. It's the flyer's fear. Because it knows that you will do exactly as I'm telling you. Don't worry, I know for a fact that those attacks wear off very quickly. The flyer's mind has no concentration whatsoever. You're being torn by an internal struggle. Down in the depths of you, you know that you are incapable of refusing the agreement that an indispensable part of you, your glowing code of awareness, is going to serve as an incomprehensible source of nourishment to naturally incomprehensible entities, and another part of you will stand against this situation with all its might. The sorcerer's revolution is that they refuse to honor agreements in which they did not participate. Nobody ever asked me if I would consent to be eaten by beings of a different kind of awareness. My parents just brought me into this world to be food like themselves, and that's the end of the story. The more you think about it, and the more you talk to and observe yourself and your fellow men, the more intense will be the conviction that something has rendered us incapable of any activity or any interaction or any thought that doesn't have the self as its focal point. Your concern, as well as the concern of everyone you know or talk to, is the self. Focus your attention on the fleeting shadows that you actually see. The flyer's mind has not left you. It has been seriously injured. It's trying its best to rearrange its relationship with you, but something in you is severed forever. The flyer knows that. The real danger is that the flyer's mind may win by getting you tired and forcing you to quit by playing the contradiction between what it says and what I say. You see, the flyer's mind has no competitors. When it proposes something, it agrees with its own proposition, and it makes you believe that you've done something of worth. The flyer's mind will say to you that whatever Juan Matus is telling you is pure nonsense, and then the same mind will agree with its own proposition. Yes, of course it is nonsense, you will say. That's the way they overcome us. The flyers are an essential part of the universe, and they must be taken as what they really are. Awesome. Monstrous. They are the means by which the universe tests us. We are energetic probes created by the universe. And it's because we are possessors of energy that has awareness that we are the means by which the universe becomes aware of itself. The flyers are the implacable challengers. They cannot be taken as anything else. If we succeed in doing that, the universe allows us to continue. It's time for another kind of maneuver. I want to propose a weird idea to you. I have to stress that it's a weird idea that will find endless resistance in you. I will tell you beforehand that you won't accept it easily. But the fact that it's weird should not be a deterrent. Your mind is always open to inquiry, isn't that so? The weird idea is that every human being on this earth seems to have exactly the same reactions, the same thoughts, the same feelings. They seem to respond in more or less the same way to the same stimuli. Those reactions seem to be sort of fogged up by the language they speak, but if we scrape that off, they are exactly the same reactions that besiege every human being on earth. I would like you to become curious about this and see if you could formally account for such homogeneity. The task for you one day will be to see the predator. It is one of the most mysterious things of sorcery, something that goes beyond language, beyond explanations. The mystery of sorcery must be cushioned in the mundane. It must stem from nothing and go back again to nothing. That's the art of warrior travelers, to go through the eye of the needle unnoticed. Someday, when you are ready, sit and brace yourself by propping your back against something. Cross your legs and enter into inner silence. Enter into inner silence, but don't fall asleep. This won't be a journey through the dark sea of awareness. It will be seeing from inner silence. When you can see from inner silence, the predator may appear as a gigantic shadow, leaping in the air and then landing with a silent thud. They are really heavy. Don't be frightened. Keep your inner silence and it will move away. The predator is not something benevolent. It is enormously heavy, gross, indifferent. You can feel its disregard for us. Doubtless it has crushed us ages ago, making us weak, vulnerable, and docile. You have your unbending intent not to let them eat you. Soon you will be entering into infinity by the force of your personal power. Once you have entered into infinity, you can't depend on anyone to bring you back. Your decision is needed then. Only you can decide whether or not to return. I must also warn you that few warrior travelers survive this type of encounter with infinity. Infinity is enticing beyond belief. A warrior traveler finds that to return to the world of disorder, compulsion, noise, and pain is a most unappealing affair. You must know that your decision to stay or to return is not a matter of a reasonable choice, but a matter of intending it. If you choose not to return, you will disappear as if the earth has swallowed you. But if you choose to come back, you must tighten your belt and wait like a true warrior traveler until your task, whatever it might be, is finished, either in success or in defeat. Today, you are going to fulfill a concrete task, the last link of a long chain, and you must do it in your utmost mood of reason. The backbone of a warrior traveler is humbleness and efficiency, acting without expecting anything and withstanding anything that lies ahead of him. We are alone. That's our condition. But to die alone is not to die in loneliness. The great issue with us males is our frailty. When our awareness begins to grow, it grows like a column, right on the midpoint of our luminous being. From the ground up, that column has to reach a considerable height before we can rely on it. At this time in your life, as a sorcerer, you easily lose your grip on your new awareness. When you do that, you forget everything you have done and seen on the warrior traveler's path, because your consciousness shifts back to the awareness of your everyday life. I have explained to you that the task of every male sorcerer is to reclaim everything he has done and seen on the warrior traveler's path while he was on new levels of awareness. The problem of every male sorcerer is that he easily forgets because his awareness loses its new level and falls to the ground at the drop of a hat. Don't worry about verbalizations. You will verbalize all you want in due time. Today, you must act on your inner silence, on what you know without knowing. You know to perfection what you have to do, but this knowledge is not quite formulated in your thoughts yet. It is obligatory that a warrior traveler say goodbye to all the people he leaves behind. He must say his goodbye in a loud and clear voice so that his shout and his feelings will remain forever recorded. Warrior travelers can't owe anything to anyone. warrior travelers pay elegantly, generously, and with unequaled ease every favor, every service rendered to them. In this manner, they get rid of the burden of being indebted. You have recapitulated your life thoroughly, but you are far from being free of indebtedness. You cannot confuse solitude with solitariness. Solitude for me is psychological, of the mind. Solitariness is physical. One is debilitating, the other comforting. We must have something we could die for before we can think that we have something to live for. If you have nothing to die for, how can you claim that you have something to live for? The two go hand in hand, with death at the helm. Loneliness is inadmissible in a warrior. Warrior travelers can count on one being on which they can focus all their love, all their care. This marvelous earth, the mother, the matrix, the epicenter of everything we are and everything we do, the very being to which all of us return, the very being that allows warrior travelers to leave on their definitive journey. Let's put it this way. In order for me to leave this world and face the unknown, I need all my strength, all my forbearance, all my luck. But above all, I need every bit of a warrior traveler's guts of steel. To remain behind and fare like a warrior traveler, you need everything of what I myself need. To venture out there the way we are going to is no joking matter, but neither is it to stay behind. We will never be together again. You don't need my help anymore, and I don't want to offer it to you, because if you are worth your salt as a warrior traveler, you'll spit in my eye for offering it to you. Beyond a certain point, the only joy of a warrior traveler is his aloneness. I wouldn't like you to try to help me either. Once I leave, I am gone. Don't think about me, or I won't think about you. If you are a worthy warrior traveler, be impeccable. Take care of your world. Honor it. Guard it with your life. Forget the self, and you will fear nothing in whatever level of awareness you find yourself to be. A male sorcerer who is the Nawal perforce has to be fragmented because of the bulk of his energetic mass. Each fragment lives a specific range of a total scope of activity, and the events that he experiences in each fragment have to be joined someday to give a complete conscious picture of everything that has taken place in his total life. That unification takes years to accomplish. I have been told of cases of Nawals who never reached the total scope of their activities in a conscious manner and lived fragmented. The world of sorcerers is not an immutable world, where the world is final, unchanging. It's a world of eternal fluctuation, where nothing should be taken for granted. How could all this be possible? Who are we really? Certainly not the people all of us have been led to believe we are. A sorcerer weeps when he is fragmented. When he's complete, he's taken by a shiver that has the potential, because it is so intense, of ending his life. There is nothing to mourn, nothing to feel sad about. Nothing matters. All of us are warrior travelers, and all of us have been swallowed by infinity. We are warrior travelers. Only energetic facts are meaningful for us. All the rest are trimmings that have no importance at all. Our normal cognition requires a linear explanation in order to be satisfied, and linear explanations are not possible. This is the crux of the interruption of continuity. That interruption is sorcery. In order for you to stay behind, you need all your strength, all your forbearance, and above all, a warrior traveler's guts of steel.